everyone. Happy Sunday morning to you. This is the Lord's Day, and it's so good to be in His house together with you this morning. If you would stand to your feet, we're going to open the service reading from Psalm 55:14. The scripture says, "What good," or some versions say sweet, "what sweet fellowship we once enjoyed as we walked together to the house of God." It's such a blessing to be a part of the family of God and to enjoy the sweet fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ as we come together in God's house to worship His name. So let's give thanks to the Lord for the blessing of the family of God and the sweet relationships that we share together that bless our lives in so many ways. Would you lift your hearts and voices in praise to the Lord? Lord, we just worship and honor You today. We lift our hands, we lift our voices, we lift our hearts together in worship unto Your name. You are so good. You are wonderful, Lord God. Thank You, Lord, for Your great grace in our lives. And we thank You for the gift of the church. We thank You for the blessing of being a part of a spiritual family where we are loved, where we are accepted, where we are always welcome, Lord God. We thank You that we can pray for one another, that we can support one another, that we can encourage one another, Lord God. And we thank You for the joy of being able to walk this journey of faith together, Lord God. We never have to be alone, Lord God, but we share our lives together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank You that we are a part of a faith family. We thank You, Lord God, that as we join our hearts together, Your presence comes and inhabits our praises. We welcome You. We ask You to move here among us today. Touch our lives and our hearts, and may we be changed for Your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together.
Hallelujah, Lord. You are awesome, oh God. We worship You.
He's great. great.
He's great.
He's awesome. He's awesome. My God is awesome. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is awesome.
There's no one like him. Awesome.
Yes, Lord, you're awesome.
Awesome. My God is awesome. He's awesome.
Oh God, you are awesome. You are great. You are our deliverer. You are our provider, my God. You are everything we need, oh Lord. You are the very air that we breathe, oh God. Father, we need you more than anything, oh God. Father, and we cry out to you this morning. How desperate we are for you, my Lord. Thank you, my God, for your mercy, your faithfulness, and your grace. Worthy Jesus.
This is the air I breathe.
Yes, O Lord, you are the very air. Jesus.
This is the air I breathe.
You are the air.
Thank you.
Without you, my Lord, there is none like you, my Father. Hallelujah. We praise you this morning. Father, we just ask, Lord, that you meet us in this place. Father, awaken our souls, our hearts, our minds to receive you, my God. Father, come. Envelop us in your presence, my Lord. Let every heart and eye turn to you, my God, this morning. We are nothing without you, my Lord. We need you for everything, oh God. We depend on you, oh Lord.
In our hearts, Lord, in this nation, awakening, Holy Spirit, we desire. Lord, in this nation, awakening, Holy Spirit, we desire,
yes, Lord.
Your will be done. Let your will.
To pray thy kingdom come, and we are praying for the manifestation of your kingdom all throughout this world to destroy the dominion of darkness, Lord God, and to accomplish your purpose, that your will might be done on earth, Lord God, even as it is in heaven. We are praying for the salvation of souls.
bonds. We are praying for the breaking of the bondages of darkness, Lord God, that the blinders with which the enemy has blinded eyes with unbelief, Lord God, would be stripped away, Lord, that they might see the glorious light of the gospel through Jesus Christ. Lord, move, move in this world, move in this community, move in your church all around the world, oh God.
Awake my soul and sing, for the world you love, your will be done, let your will be done in me.
Hallelujah.
Like the rising sun that shines,
Lord God, is you. What this world needs is you, Lord God. Our hearts long for an awakening that comes from the very throne of heaven, Lord God. Lord, that you would sweep across this nation, that you would move around the world, oh God, and that you would make your glory manifest in such a way that lives would be drawn to you, Lord God. Father, we are praying that even as we're living in the last days, that there would be a great harvest of souls that would be brought into your kingdom, Lord God, for you are not desirous that any would perish, Lord God. So, Lord, we are crying out to you for a mighty move of your Spirit in these last days, Lord God. And we say, start the work in us. Start the work in us, Lord. We surrender ourselves to you. We seek you. We welcome you. We ask you to move, Lord God. Take our lives and make them an instrument of your grace, a bright and shining light in the midst of darkness, Lord God. We worship and we honor you, Lord God. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer now. And as we do, we have a very special request this morning from Diane Matura. Her and her family have been longtime members of our church. Many of you know them. But she took her son a couple of days ago to the hospital, to the ER, because he hadn't eaten in days and was feeling very lethargic. To her surprise, after they did scans, to everybody's surprise, they found that he had lung cancer, a tumor so large that it has pushed his heart into the middle of his throat, and not his throat, excuse me, his chest. And so she's asking prayer for her and her family. When her mother found out, her mother had to be taken to the hospital this morning due to the stress of the situation. So we really need to lift the Mathura family before the presence of the Lord. God is a miracle-working God. So let's just pray right now. Let's lift our voices first for this need, would you? Lord, we're standing in the gap right now, lifting up this beautiful family before you, Lord God. Father, we pray right now that you would just wrap your arms of love around Diane and her family, Lord God. Father, we pray right now, Lord God, that you would just touch them, Lord. Father, we pray for your peace to be ministered in this situation. And we pray for her son, Eric, Lord God. Father, we know that your word is the final word, not the doctor's word, but your word, Lord God. we pray that you would speak your word into this situation right now, Lord God. Scripture says you sent your word and it did heal them, Lord God. Minister to him right now, Lord God. Father, let your healing virtue flow through his body. I pray that you would curse that cancerous tumor, Lord God, that you would command it to shrivel and to die, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would release, Lord God, life into his body, release strength into his body, Lord God. I pray that you would work in such a way that it would astound the doctors and the nurses and everybody involved, Lord God. Do a miracle and glorify yourself, Lord. Father, we pray for her mother, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would just touch her right now, that your peace that passes all understanding, Lord God, would come upon her soul, Lord God. Father, we pray for this entire family and we place them in your hands. Be their strength. Be their strength. Uplift them right now, Lord God, with your Holy Spirit, and let your presence be very near to them, O God, as they feel you carrying them through this difficult hour. We place them in your hands, Lord, and we ask you to do this thing, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you have a need in your life, would you just stretch a hand towards heaven right now and let us just believe the Lord on your behalf. Hallelujah. Everyone, let's lift our voices and pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ right now. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. You might not know what to pray for, but when you pray in the Spirit, he knows and he prays through you according to the mind and heart of God. Lift your voice right now. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are a prayer answering God. Time and time again in your word, you tell us to call upon you and you will answer us, Lord God. And so, Lord, we are standing in faith upon the promises of your word. Our eyes are upon you because our help comes from you, Lord God. Father, we are praying right now for every person in this church body who is sick in their physical bodies or who has a loved one that they're standing in the gap for who is sick. Lord God. Father, we are praying right now that you stretch forth your healing hand towards your people. We thank you that the cross of Calvary purchased not only our salvation and the forgiveness of sins, but the cross purchased our healing, Lord God. And so it is by faith that we pray healing over your body, Lord God, over your people, Lord. Stretch forth your hand and touch them right now in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we pray this morning as well for the healing of emotional and mental issues, Lord God. Father, we pray right now that you would touch those, Lord God, that are struggling with panic attacks, with depression, with anxiety, with stress, Lord God. Father, minister to their soul right now, Lord God. Father, we pray wholeness, wholeness in their emotions, wholeness in their mind, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that you would stretch forth your hand of provision to every person who is in need this morning. We pray for those that are seeking jobs, that you would go before them and that you would open doors that no man can shut. Place them where you want them to be, Lord God. Let your will be done. Place them, Lord God, where not only can their needs be met, but they can be a bright and shining light for your kingdom, O God. Father, we pray for every problem, every situation, every legal case, Lord God, that your people are facing. We bring it before you right now. We thank you, Lord, that you are a mighty God, that there is nothing too hard for you, and we ask you to intervene on behalf of your people, Lord God. Father, we declare the answer over them today in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise and all of the glory, for you only are worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. So good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see some new faces that we haven't seen during the pandemic, and they're coming back out to the house of God, and that's great to see. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, give a great big hand clap. Amen.
We welcome everybody this morning, those that are here in-house, and of course those that are joining us by live stream. We're so glad to have you with us this morning, and we pray that the service will be a blessing to you today. Do we have any first-time guests among us this morning? Would you indicate a praised hand? Any first-time visitors? Just slip your hand right up. Amen. We seem to be all home folks here, but oh, we have one right here. Amen. Give her a great big hand of welcome. So good to have you with us this morning. Amen. And she's a guest of Maria this morning, so it's so good to have you. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Thank you. Those that are first-time guests in-house, if you would just text your name to the number on the screen, and if we have any first-time guests joining us on live stream, if you would just type first time and let us know where you're tuning in from. We just want the opportunity to be able to greet you and send you some important information. But we're so glad that you're with us this morning, and we pray that the service will be a blessing to you. And we remind everybody that we have in-person services and children's church on Sunday mornings at 11, and we also have in-person services on Wednesday evenings at 7:30 with Royal Rangers and Girls Ministry for the children. So we encourage you to come on out. You know, we're getting back out and doing everything else, right? We're getting back out to work. Our kids are getting back out to school. We're getting back out to the stores, getting back out to eating in the restaurants. And certainly it's time to get back out to the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was just speaking to someone yesterday on the phone, because on Saturday mornings, I'm just calling families of the church and connecting with them and praying for those that need prayer. And she was saying, you know, I was just telling my kids, COVID's going to be around for a while, and we have to get back to church. We can't stay out of church any longer. Amen. And so I was so glad to hear that. And so she said she would be with us shortly. And so we praise God for that. But we're glad that you're here with us this morning. At this time, we have a video with a couple of video announcements, so we're going to go ahead and let that play.
It's stories shared and moments worth remembering. It's hoping and praying and taking chances. It's jokes and laughter and shoulders to cry on. It's questions and answers and I don't knows. It's knowing you don't have to figure it all out by yourself. It's messy and imperfect. It's giving and serving and growing better together. It's life, and we weren't meant to do it alone. Life is better together. Find a life group that's right for you today.
Hey everybody, we want to invite you to hang out with us. The church is not just a service, sermons, or songs. It is the family of God. It is the relationships that we build with one another. So let's get together and hang out. Sunday, September 26th at 6:30 p.m. at McAllister's Deli in Pine City Center. It's located at 10620 Pines Boulevard, close to Pines and Palm. Let's laugh, talk, eat, and connect. Just go to our Facebook page event and let us know if you'll be joining us. We can't wait to spend time with you. If you're available and it's right down the street and it's going to be safe because it's outdoors, amen. And so we're going to have a great time. We've done this before at other locations and just had a wonderful time just hanging out with one another, getting to know one another. And it's a great blessing. So if you're available, we'd love to have you with us. You can go to our Facebook page, look for the events, and all the information is there for you. And if you're going, if you would just click going so we can know approximately how many people to expect. But we look forward to sharing the evening together with you in the sweet fellowship of brothers Amen. And sisters in Christ. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. At this time, we're going to worship the Lord with our giving, and we're going to look to the scripture to prepare our hearts for the worship of giving. We're turning to 2 Kings chapter 4, and there's a story there about a widow that many of us are familiar with. She had been a wife of a prophet. And the creditors, he died, and the creditors came to take her two sons as slaves to pay off the family's debt. So she's in a desperate situation, so she goes to the prophet of God, Elisha, and says, you know, basically, what am I to do? And so it says in verse 2, what can I do to help you, Elisha asked. Tell me, what do you have in your house? Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil, she replied. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Amen. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to her sons. There aren't any more, he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." Amen. God's Amen. Retirement plan.
Amen.
Amen. But as we read the story, you know, this woman is in a desperate situation. She's lost her husband. She's raising two sons. Back then, women were pretty much in a destitute state if they didn't have an adult male. They didn't have many legal rights. They couldn't own land. There weren't very many occupations open to women. And so she's in a desperate situation. The creditors are coming, knocking on her door to take her sons to debtors into slavery to pay off the bill. And so she comes to the prophet of God, Elisha, which is an act of turning to God for help. And through her faith and obedience, God provided and blessed her abundantly. But I want you to see this. She determined the size of her blessing from God. The size of her faith when she borrowed the containers determined the size of her blessing. It was only when the containers that she had borrowed were filled that the oil stopped flowing. All the containers she collected were filled. And as one commentator states, countless others could have been filled if she had borrowed more. So think of it. Her preparation determined her blessing. Galatians 6:7 tells us that we reap in accordance to what we sow. And so in other words, just as the widow woman determined her blessing by the preparation of her vessels, sowing through our faith, through our giving, is our preparation that will determine the harvest of God's blessing in our life. And truly, God is always ready to bless abundantly. The question is, are we prepared to give? And being people of faith, our resounding answer is yes. We are ready to worship the Lord with our giving. So let's come now in the worship of giving. And of course, we're not passing an offering basket because of COVID, but we do have other ways for you to give. We can give through text giving. If we can put that slide up on the screen, the number is 954-516-1522. You can just go into your messaging app, type that number, and then type any amount and hit send. That will go to tithes and offerings. If you're giving to the building fund or missions, it's the amount followed by the word building or the amount followed by the word missions and hit send. And you can also give online at our website, nl-fl.org. Just click the give tab, or you can mail your offerings into the church, however you choose. What's important is that we honor the Lord with our giving, and that's what we're going to do right now. And thank you so much for all of you for your faithfulness and generosity in giving. It is because of you that we are able to continue ministering here locally and also all around the world through more than 50 missionary partners that we support on a monthly basis. That's you. You're doing that. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So let's stand to our feet and let's declare God's promises over our life by faith as we honor him with our giving. If you're giving with your phone, just lift it to the Lord. Giving with your computer at home, just touch it as a point of contact. If you have your offering, lift it before the Lord. Lord, today I worship you by bringing the tithe and the offering in obedience to your word, in honor of your lordship, in gratitude for your blessings, and with faith in your promises. I declare an open heaven and overflowing blessing in my life. I declare that you will rebuke the devourer on my behalf. You will cause blessings to chase me down and overtake me. You will bless me in whatever I do and wherever I go. You will replace my lack with abundance. You will command your blessings upon my finances and upon my job. And you will make me a lender and not a borrower. You will cause me to succeed and not to fail. You will supply all of my needs according to your riches in glory. And I declare that as I give, it will be given back to me in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Let's worship the Lord with our giving. Song declaring we belong to Jesus. Thank you so much, worship team. If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to be reading verses 14 through 19 in just a moment. We are continuing our series for Back to Church Month. Amen. And the series is Stronger Together, because we are so much stronger together. And this morning's message is titled, Together We Are Loved. Together We Are Loved. Anybody here ever visited the Grand Canyon? Anybody? Amen. We got a few here. It's one of the most incredible natural wonders in the world. I had the privilege of going there on vacation years ago. And prior to going, of course, you know, I had seen beautiful pictures and videos. And I knew some of the facts about the Grand Canyon. I knew that it was located in the southwest United States, and that it's one of the deepest gorges on earth, with an average depth of 1 mile and an average width of 10 miles. I knew about the Grand Canyon, but nothing compared to standing on the rim. No picture could do it justice. It's one of the most spectacular and breathtaking landscapes in all the world. And its sheer magnitude and depth is awe-inspiring. It has to be experienced to really be appreciated. And Paul tells us the same thing about God's love. The magnitude of God's love is so great that no words can do it justice. Amen. It must be experienced to be appreciated. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. I'm going to be reading it from the New King James Version, because I like the way that this version expresses the truth in this passage. The scripture says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family," look at your neighbor and say, "We're family."
We're family.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
"From whom the whole family in heaven and earth," because some of our family has already gone on to be with Jesus. Amen. Amen. "From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." You know, in this passage, Paul sums up the entire saving work of Christ through time in bringing together sinful mankind into relationship with a holy God. He becomes our Father, and through our relationship with him, the entire body of Christ, anybody who is saved, is brought together in relationship in the family of God as children of our Heavenly Father. Doesn't matter whether we are Jew or Gentile. Gentile represents the nations of the world, so it includes everybody who has accepted Jesus Christ. Amen. Through Christ, we are brought together as one, as one into the family of God. And so Paul sums up the entirety of Christ's saving work with the word love. One word, love. The incredible, immeasurable, incomparable, amazingly limitless love of God. But there is a difference between knowing, mentally knowing about God's love, and experiencing God's love. You know, there's a big difference between knowing about electricity and touching a live wire and experiencing electricity. Am I right? And sometimes a person may say, you know, "I know my parents loved me because they worked hard to provide a nice house and a nice life, always had food, always had clothes, and they told me all the time that they loved me, but I just didn't feel love." And I've heard that before, because there's a difference between knowing that you're loved and experiencing that love. Now, most of us here today know that God loves us, but have we really experienced the width and the breadth and the depth of his limitless love in our lives? Because when we do, it transforms our lives into the most passionate, empowered, and unstoppable Christians who love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and who love one another fervently.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what should characterize the life of anyone who has truly experienced the love of God.
Amen.
In this passage we just read, Paul is praying for the church. And one of his petitions we find in verses 18 and 19 is that we may be able to comprehend the incredible, immeasurable, infinite love of God for us. And the word comprehend in Greek means to grasp to ourselves, to lay a hold of something and make it our own, to claim it for ourselves. Because it's one thing to know, for God so loved the world, but it is another thing to know and really experience the fact that God loves me with an amazing and incredible love. Hallelujah. And Paul prays that we might comprehend the incomprehensible, that we might know the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of God's love. But how do you measure that which is limitless? And how do you fathom that which is infinite? Paul is praying that we would truly grasp in our inner man that God is passionately in love with us. That we would experience for ourselves a love so deep, a love so great, so incredible, that it has no limits. It has no end. And his love surpasses the best of human loves. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Paul wants us to know, not just in our mind, because we read it or because we heard about it, but he wants us to know it in our inner man, to grasp and make it our own, to experience God's incredible love ourselves. And today, I join my voice and heart together with Paul's prayer for you, that you may be able to truly grasp for yourself the fullness of God's love, because when you do, it will completely revolutionize your life. It will revolutionize your relationship with God. It will revolutionize your relationship with his church, the body of Christ, the family of God, and it will revolutionize the entirety of your life as you burn with a holy passion for the purpose of God. The first thing I want us to see is that experiencing God's love roots us and grounds us. Experiencing God's love roots us and grounds us. Experiencing God's love strengthens us. Paul prays for us that we might be strengthened with might by his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in us by faith, that we might be rooted and grounded in love, that we might comprehend the limitless love of God. So he makes a direct connection between the power of the Spirit and the strength that the Spirit brings into our life with experiencing the love of God, or grasping the love of God. So there is a direct connection between experiencing for ourselves and grasping for ourselves the incredible love of God and being strengthened by the Holy Spirit. There's a direct connection between the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the experience of God's love in our life. Romans 5:5, Paul writes that God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. There is that connection between the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and the experience of God's love. I never forget praying for a lady years ago who had gone through a lot of trials. She battled depression for many years. She walked under a lot of guilt and condemnation over her past life. And she really struggled, even though she came to Christ, she really struggled with feeling that God loved her because of all of her past failures. But one day, as we prayed for her at the altar, it was Pentecost Sunday, I still remember it, she was gloriously baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it just exploded out of her as she began to pray in other tongues. She shocked herself. She started praying in other tongues, and then she was very surprised. And at that moment, she grabbed me by the neck and a couple of other people that were praying with her, and she put us all three into a headlock. And she started jumping up and down and screaming, "He loves me! He loves me! He really loves me!" And I'm like, "That's great, but let me breathe." But the Holy Spirit in that moment filled her heart with God's love, so that not only did she know in her mind that God loved her, but she experienced it. She felt God's incredible love towards her. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Mike Bickle, who is an author that writes a lot about prayer, and he leads a ministry called International House of Prayer. He writes this. He said, "Paul called the saints to profoundly encounter God's affection. He said, God has volcanic desire in his being for his people." I love that. God has volcanic desire in his being for his people. That's us. He's talking about us. He goes on to write, he wants us to experience the ocean of his love.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. However, it takes God's power to feel God's love and to be able to love God. In other words, it takes the supernatural anointing of the Holy Spirit to walk in this. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. This is why Paul prays for us to be strengthened with might by the Spirit. The word strength that is used in this verse is a rare Greek word. It carries the idea of fortifying something or strengthening something, coming alongside of something to make it stronger. And the emphasis is on increased vigor, increased power, increased vitality. In verse 13, Paul was urging his readers to not get discouraged because of the suffering they saw him enduring. It was a time of great persecution for Christians. And Paul, who is the one who led most of them to the Lord and planted this great church in Ephesus, was suffering for the sake of the gospel. And they watched this and they were being shaken as they saw him go through all of this suffering. And they needed strength to not be moved, strength to not be shaken, and to be able to stand strong for the Lord in their own trials. So that they would not be tempted to think, you know what, if Paul, the man of God, is going through all of that, what hope do we have? You know, and so Paul understood what they were feeling, and he prays for the members of this church at Ephesus who have just become spiritually worn out by all of the hardship. As we know from his extensive teaching in Ephesians chapter 6, they were engaged in spiritual warfare, and they apparently had been enduring a very difficult and intense spiritual battle. And he encourages them in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So you see this repeated prayer and this repeated emphasis on needing to be strengthened supernaturally by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the implication is that some believers were battle weary. Have you ever gotten battle weary?
Yes.
You know, it's just been one battle after the other. Have you ever felt that way? And you kind of just want to put your weapons down for a while and say, I just need a rest. You know, I think we all at times, I know at times I've felt that way. We just become battle weary, spiritually exhausted. Sometimes we might even feel ready to give up. And that's why he prays for them to be strengthened with supernatural power by the Holy Spirit. And it is a prayer to restore their spiritual vitality, their spiritual passion, their spiritual energy by the power of the Holy Spirit. And maybe some of us need that this morning. Amen. Amen. Where does that spiritual strength come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit supernaturally enabling us to feel God's love and to love God in response. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we feel ourselves physically drained or emotionally exhausted from the battles of life. And we think to ourselves, this is what we think to ourselves, you know what? I just need to sleep. I just need a really long night's sleep. Or I just need a vacation. I need a break from all the people and the problems and the pressure. You ever felt that way?
Yes.
And sometimes you take that break, you go on vacation, or you sleep through the night till noon the next day, and you get up, and you're still weary. You're still drained. You're still emotionally exhausted. And when that happens, it's because we are spiritually depleted, and it's affecting us physically, and it's affecting us emotionally. And so what we need is not to kick back in the recliner and go to sleep for 3 days, or buy a one-way ticket to a Caribbean island, even though that sounds very enticing. I love the beach. And God can reach me on the beach. Amen. But we need to be strengthened by the Spirit in our inner man. We need a fresh experience of God's love through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we would be amazed how differently we feel outwardly as we return to life.
Yes.
So when you feel that way, depleted, emotionally exhausted, worn out, at the point of wanting to quit, I want to encourage you to get into God's presence. Amen. Worship him. Spend time at his feet. Yes. Ask him to renew your strength. Ask him to pour out his love in a fresh way in your soul by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When you do, it's going to revitalize you. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit and your love, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
So not only does experiencing God's love strengthen us, but it produces staying power in us. Paul prays that we might become rooted in love. And it pictures a tree that has put down deep roots.
Thank you, God.
Deep roots. So it has staying power. As I said earlier, I love to go to the beach. And one thing I look at is the beautiful palm trees out there. And you know how many hurricanes those palm trees have endured? And sometimes you actually can see a bowl in their trunk because they have stood against the wind and the wind has pressed against them. But they've had staying power. Amen? Oh, I want to be like a palm tree. Amen. So he prays that they might become rooted in love, put down deep roots into the soil of God's Spirit, into the soil of God's presence, from which his life flows into us. Yeah. Then Paul used a construction analogy, the term grounded, and it speaks of a foundation. Mm-hmm. And when we face trials and difficulties, one of the first things that the enemy tries to do is to get us to question God's love. Any of you ever been there?
Right. Yeah.
The enemy whispers in your ear, if God loved you, why would he allow you to go through this? If God loved you, where is he? Why isn't he listening to your prayers? God doesn't love you. God has forgotten about you. God has abandoned you. That's the first thing that Satan begins to whisper into our ear.
Sometimes he shouts it.
Amen. Sometimes he shouts it. Yes. But as we are strengthened in our inner man, we become confident in God's love. And that becomes a source of life to us when we go through difficulty. And it is a strong foundation on which we can stand unshakable.
Yes.
In the midst of trials.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
It gives us staying power.
Yes.
It enables us to endure.
Yes.
It enables us to stand strong when the storms of life beat against us. And it enables us to continue to love and serve God passionately, even in the face of trial. So, as we have seen, experiencing God's love is so important. It roots us and it grounds us. It strengthens us. It gives us staying power. But I also want us to see, not only does it root and ground us, but experiencing God's love relates us. The experience of God's love connects us as family. The experience of God's love connects us as family. Paul begins his prayer by honoring God as the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Hallelujah. He's speaking of the family of God. He's speaking of us. We are brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
And we often say that being a Christian is having a personal relationship with God. And that is definitely true. And each one of us daily has to make the decision to believe and to follow and to grow in our relationship with the Lord. But our faith is not merely a personal thing. We are part of a family because we have the same Father.
Amen.
Amen.
And he promises his love and power and all of his resources in heaven to his family, the church. And often the resources of heaven, the strength, the life, the vitality, the love of God flows into our life through one another. As we encourage one another, as we pray for one another, as we're there for one another, as we stand with one another, hallelujah. I don't know how many of you saw a news story about a tremendous rescue of a cat at the, I think it was the Hurricanes football game. Did y'all see that? That the cat was hanging perilously from one of the top tier balcony fronts by one paw.
Wow.
And he was dangling there, probably 50, 60 feet dropped to what was below, dangling by one paw. And then some of the fans there realized what was happening. They had American flag. They spread it out, and the cat let go and dropped, and they cushioned him with the American flag. And then one guy picked him up and held him up, and everybody started to cheer like you're doing. Amen. I love cats, so I was cheering for him. Amen. Praise God. When I saw him hanging, I was praying for him. When I saw him rescued, I was cheering for him. Amen. It is okay to pray for cats and dogs. Amen. God cares about everything. But when I saw that and I thought about this morning's message, I was thinking, you know what? That's a whole lot like what the family of God is like. Sometimes we go through things in life where we're just holding on by a thread. Amen. We're just hanging there perilously. But then there's a family of God there. Hallelujah. And they are there to hold us up, to encourage us, to pray for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible says two are better than one.
Yes. My God.
And it says, woe unto the man who falls and he is alone.
My God.
Because there is no one to pick him up.
My God.
Amen. Folks, that's why we need the family of God. That's why relationships in the body of Christ are so important. Amen. Because I don't want to burst any body's bubble. But I can almost guarantee you that there's going to come a time, if you're not there now, there's going to come a time when you're going to feel like that cat just hanging on barely. Amen? I'm not prophesying anything over you. I'm just speaking reality because that's how life is.
Yes, yes.
And in those moments, we need a church family that will rally again around us, that will catch us, that will support us, that will strengthen us, that will pray for us. Amen? Those who separate themselves from God's family and try to live for Christ independently, cutting themselves off from the resources of God that He makes available through the family of God. Much of His resources flow to us through the family of God.
Amen.
Now let me get real with you for a moment.
Get real,
Jesus. Like any family, we are going to have times when we hurt or disappoint one another.
That's right, yeah.
Because let me just be real, this side of heaven, none of us.
None of us.
Not a one.
None of us is perfect.
None of us. Hallelujah.
And so we're going to hurt or we're going to disappoint one another. But when we are living in the outflow of God's love, His forgiveness and His healing will flow.
Amen.
The Bible says that love covers a multitude of faults. Amen.
Amen.
We cannot adopt the current philosophy that pervades our society that you said something I don't like. I cut you off.
That's right, Pastor.
That's not the body of Christ. That's not the love of God.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
And we cannot become like the world. We must become like Christ. Amen? And how many times have we offended Christ?
Go ahead, Pastor.
How many times have we hurt Christ? How many times have we let Him down? But you know what? He still loves us anyhow. He's got a stubborn love for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we're going to have hurt. Jesus said the opportunity for offense is great. You got people that have different personalities, different upbringings, different views, different perspectives. The opportunity for offense is great. But you know what? When God's love is in us, then His love is also great enough to overcome those things. Praise the Lord. So we're going to have hurts, we're going to have disappointments, but we'll also have shared joys and shared tears. But as Paul says, when the Spirit is truly working in the midst of the family of God, the church, we all have the same care for one another. And when one member suffers, we all suffer. I can't tell you how I felt yesterday when I got the news about Diane Mathura's son. It was like I got punched in my gut. And there was a few moments of disbelief, and I just had to stop and pray for her. And then I called her up on the phone, and she was so touched to be able to pray with her over the phone. But that's how we need to be as the family of God, that your hurts are like my hurts. And I'm going to help bear your burden with you. I'm going to pray for you. And that when somebody gets blessed, we rejoice together with them as well. Amen. That's the kind of family that we are, and that I pray we will be in increasing measure as we yield more and more to the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. That's the family of God. That's the family of God. I remember several years ago, we had a wonderful South Korean lady in our church. Her name was Poson. So beautiful. We had a morning prayer every day. She was there every day.
That's right.
But then she got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. She was here in the States by herself, no family. And she still, even in those last days, she lived on a second floor. She would drag herself down on her rear, the stairs, drive here, ask one of the men in our prayer meeting to bring her inside. They would take one of our rolling chairs out there and roll her in, and she would pray. And she would pray for the body of Christ and needs in the body of Christ, not her own needs. But when the final weeks of her life came, I was so touched by some of the ladies in our congregation who came to me, and they said, "Pastor, can we put a schedule together to rotate people so that she does not have to be alone in the last days of her life?" And for the last weeks of her life, she had a member of the New Life family with her 24/7 until she went to heaven. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. That's the family of God.
Oh,
that's what God has called us to be to one another. And when his love is flowing in us, it will also flow from us to one another. Experiencing God's love empowers us to love one another fervently, to love one another fervently. Frederick Buechner, in his book, Secrets in the Dark, writes, "We are above all things loved. That is the good news of the gospel. And loved not just the way we turn up on Sundays in our best clothes and on our best behavior and with our best feet forward, but we are loved as we are alone, known to ourselves, the weakest and shabbiest of what we are, along with the strongest and gladdest." Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. To come together as people who believe that, he says, the gospel is actually true, should be to come together like people who have just won the sweepstakes. Hallelujah. We've won something better than a $600 billion lottery ticket. Amen. Not that we gamble, because we don't. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. But he goes on to say, it should have us throwing our arms around each other like people who have just discovered that every single man and woman in the church pew is not just another familiar and unfamiliar face, but is our long last brother and our long last sister. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And this is the joy, he said, that is so apt to be missing, and missing not just from church, but from our own lives. The joy comes from being a part of this loving family of God. That is a great part of how we experience God's joy and God's love in our life. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. When we are loved by God, he knows the very worst about us, yet he loves us passionately, and it frees us to love others fervently, and that fills our life with joy. We're not alone. We're doing life together. We're loving, and we are being loved. Hallelujah. Coming to church is not attending a service. It's a family reunion. Praise the Lord. We get to get together. We get to catch up on the week. We get to pray for one another and encourage one another. Serving in ministry is not a duty. Amen. It's taking care of our family.
Amen. Amen.
It's like a mother who lovingly cooks.
That's right.
For her children. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When we serve in ministry, it's not an obligation.
It's a joy.
It is a joy.
Amen.
We're caring for our family. Experiencing God's love changes everything.
Yes.
And it changes the way that we relate to one another.
Amen. That's good. Good work.
So experiencing God's love roots and grounds us. Experiencing God's love relates us. Uh-huh. But experiencing God's love also revolutionizes us.
Uh-huh.
Experiencing God's love motivates our spiritual life. Have you ever questioned why some people don't attend church more? Why some people don't care to be serving or involved in ministry? Why some people don't give? Why some people don't pray more? Why some people don't get involved more? Why some people don't care about growing in their relationship with God more? Have you ever thought that or questioned that? I'll be honest that I've wondered that sometimes and just thought, why God? Why don't they have any interest? And you know, as a pastor, sometimes it can get disappointing or frustrating. And you say, you know, God, what will it take to motivate them to want to do these things? Because they're hearing the same messages that other people are hearing that are doing those things. And the truth is that it's a heart issue. It's a matter of love. Francis Chan, who is a well-known preacher and pastor, states that guilt and fear are not the antidote to lukewarm, selfish, comfortable living. Instead, he says, the answer is love. He says that when we serve God or others out of fear or guilt, it feels like work and we get tired doing it. But when we serve God and others out of love,
amen,
it feels like love.
Amen.
And we want to do it.
Go ahead, Pastor.
We take delight in doing it.
Oh,
hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In 1 John 4, 10 and 11, it tells us that we love God because he first loved us. We couldn't love God unless he first stepped towards us and loved us and gave his son for us. And when we experience his limitless love, it ignites a passion in us to love him, to love him. And then in verse 11, it tells us the outflow of experiencing the all-surpassing love of God is that we will love others.
Yes.
He says that if the love of God is in us, we will love others. That's the evidence. He says that's the evidence,
yes,
that God is living in us. And when we truly experience the full extent of his love for us, it will also flow out from us in a passionate love to know and serve him, and a passion and commitment to love and serve his family, the church. We will want to come to church more so that we can grow and know God more. We'll want to be involved in ministry so that we can serve him and his kingdom, and we can serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll want to give so we can advance his kingdom purpose. We'll want to pray more because we know that God moves through prayer, and because prayer brings us into his presence. Prayer is communion with God. It's spending time in fellowship with him, and we'll want to grow more. We won't be lukewarm. We'll be passionately in love with God. We'll love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And experiencing God's love motivates us to action. You know that the word love is a verb?
Yes.
And for those of you who might forget your English grammar, that means that it's an action word.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
When we truly comprehend or grasp for ourselves the incredible greatness of God's love for us, it changes everything we do. Our life will be so transformed that it will shock the world. We will be filled with all the fullness of God. How does that change how we live? It means that we'll look more like Christ. We'll love him more. We'll live for him more. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, the first century believers, they lived so much like Christ that it shocked the world. In one place, after the healing of the lame man at the gate, beautiful, and several thousand came to Christ, they were arrested by the religious leaders. And the religious leaders were so astounded by the way they spoke and their boldness. It said, we perceive that they have been with Jesus. They were acting so much like Jesus, talking so much like Jesus, that they astounded the religious leaders. Later on in the book of Acts, in another city, they were called Christians. But it was meant as a derogatory comment, because it means little Christ. And they were saying, they act so much like Christ. They do so much of the things Christ did. They're just little Christs. Oh, but they meant it as an insult. Oh, what a wonderful and glorious compliment. Exactly. Amen, to be like Christ.
Exactly.
You know, when God's love is in us and we love him passionately, we're going to look at all the things that the world is striving after. And not that it's bad to have ambition or goals, but we look at those things and say, is that really what matters most?
Well, boy, Pastor.
Why am I allowing those things to distract me from God?
From God.
We would look at all the possessions that we strive to obtain and that we worry to maintain. Because once you got it, you got to worry to take care of it. And say, you know what? That doesn't really matter. You know, that was something yesterday. They were commemorating the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and I heard in some of the specials so many people talking about how it made you really think about what matters in life. And last year when the shutdown came and COVID first came upon us, I heard so many people talking about, you know, it makes you really think about what matters in life.
That's right.
And one day the trumpet is going to sound and Jesus is going to come back to take us out of this world. Yeah. And those that are left behind are going to wonder what really mattered in life.
Thanks.
Why did I waste my life pursuing all of those things?
Tell the truth, Pastor. Big Lord.
Jesus said, you know, that's all the stuff that people who don't know God seek after and worry about. But we who have experienced the fullness of God's love, he says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. And all these things shall be added unto you. Experiencing God's love will move us from talking about God and talking about the things of God, and it will move us to action. It will move us to seeking God. It will move us to pursuing his kingdom. It will move us to doing things that advance his kingdom purpose. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
It will move us to live for him.
Yes, God.
This is us. We are the family of God. We are immeasurably and passionately loved by God. And as a result, we passionately love him and live for him. And we have a fervent love for one another that makes us pray for one another, encourage one another, and serve one another. You are loved. And God wants you to not only know it, but he wants you to experience it.
Yeah.
And I encourage you to pray today. Lord, help me to fully grasp for myself your immeasurable, amazing, limitless love for me. And let it change my whole life.
Thank you, God.
But the first step to experiencing God's love, to belonging to God, and truly belonging to one another, is to repent of our sins and place our faith in Christ. That's how we become a child of God. That's how we become a member of his family, the church. And so all of us have sinned. And the Bible says that sin cuts us off or separates us from God. We were lost in our sin. But that's the whole reason that Jesus came and gave his life on the cross. So that through him, when we repent of our sins, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, we recognize that we were headed in the wrong direction, living life according to our will, and living in a way that dishonored God. And the minute we recognize that, we make a U-turn. Thankfully, God allows U-turns. And we say, God, I don't want to live that way anymore. Forgive me. And we turn to him and say, Lord, come and live inside of me and help me to live for you. And the moment we do that, the Bible says we're born again, we're made spiritually alive, We become a child of God, and as we become a child of God, we become a part of his family. And if you're here today and you have never personally repented of your sins and placed your faith in Jesus, you might have heard about it before, but you have not taken that step of action to do it personally, I want to encourage you to pray with me in just a moment. Or maybe you prayed this prayer years ago, but you've drifted away and you know that you need to come back. I want to encourage you to pray with me now. Would you pray this prayer? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sinful life. And I turn to you in faith. I confess that I'm a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. Today, I invite you to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for you. I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life, and I want to welcome you to the family of God. And if you just prayed that prayer and you're here in-house, would you text I prayed to the number on the screen? Or if you prayed that prayer online, would you just type I prayed in the comments? And a little bit later today, we're going to send you a response message with a link. Click on that link and fill in your name and email address, because we want to send you free of charge a little booklet that is going to help you to understand the commitment that you just made in that prayer and where to go from there, because that prayer is a beginning of a lifelong relationship with the Lord. It's not an end in itself. It's a beginning, and we want to help you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. So please do that right now. If you prayed that prayer, just text I prayed to the number on the screen or type I prayed in the comments. And look for a response message a little bit later today. Click on the link and fill in your name and email address so that we can send this book to you free of charge. In the meantime, I want to encourage you to do three things. And this is an encouragement for all of us, because this is how we grow in our relationship with the Lord. One, for everybody, let's talk to God every day. He's our Heavenly Father. He wants to hear from us. He wants to communicate with us. So talk to God every day. That's what we call prayer. Start with thanksgiving, because the Bible says that thanksgiving is the gateway into his presence. Thank him for the good things in your life, all of the blessings that he's given you. And then talk to him about whatever you're going through in your life, any problems, any struggles, any decisions that you're making and you need his guidance. Talk to him every day. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. And you say, how do you do that, Pastor? How do you get God to talk to you? Well, the number one way God talks to us is through the Bible. That's his word, his message to us. If you don't have a written Bible, you can download the YouVersion app on your phone or tablet for free and read as much as you want there for free. And I want to encourage you to start reading in 1 John. Just read a few verses every day. Ask God to help you to understand what you're reading and what he's saying to you. Just a few verses every day, and whatever he impresses on your heart that he's saying to you, kind of just write it down and pray it into your life. And then thirdly, get connected to a local church family where you can get encouragement and support and grow in your relationship with the Lord. Those are the three most important things you can do to continue in your journey with the Lord. Once again, I congratulate you on making the best decision of your life, and I welcome you to the family of God. For all of us who have already placed our faith in Christ, I want you to know that you are loved. God loves you with an limitless, amazing love. And God wants you to know that not only in your mind, but he wants you to grasp it for yourself and experience it. And so this morning, I want all of us to pray, Lord, help me to truly grasp for myself the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of your amazing, incomprehensible love. And let it just change my whole life. And help me, Lord, as I experience your love, to be an expression of your love to the body of Christ. Would you stand to your feet if you want to pray that prayer? You want to experience God's love and be an expression of his love? Stand to your feet at home as well and make this your prayer. Everyone, talk to God for yourself as I pray over it. Can you make this your cry today to experience God's love and be an expression of his love? Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and I thank you, Lord, that virtually 100% of those that are here today are standing to their feet. Thank you for their heart that has received your word and is responding with faith and with obedience. Father, we just pray right now that you would just pour out your love afresh and anew in each and every one of our hearts, Lord God, that we would not only know in our mind, but we would experience, Lord God, your limitless, incomprehensible, amazing, indescribable love for us, Lord God, so that the enemy would never be able to sow doubt in us again, Lord God. And Father, I pray that as you shower us with your love by the Holy Spirit, that your love would flow out from us, that we would be an expression of your love to others. So many people are going through so much right now, Lord God. Let your love just flow through us to others, to bring encouragement, to bring joy, to bring strength, to bring support to them, Lord God. Let us be instruments of your love. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, my God. You're worthy. I'm worthy, oh Lord. There is none like you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. If you would, please be seated. And I want to give you an assignment for this week. Amen. Because we got to take the sermon home with us and put it into practice. So this is your assignment. Show some love this week to someone in our church family. Aww. Reach out to them, call them, text them, give them a word of encouragement, pray for them, or invite somebody out for coffee or lunch that just needs some support and encouragement. Amen. So that's your assignment for the week. Take the sermon home with you and show some love to another member of the family of Christ. You will be blessed because as you express Christ's love to others, you're going to experience Christ's love as well. Amen. It's going to flow through you in greater measure. Praise God. Thank you so much for joining us. All of you that are here, it was so good to have you with us. Thank you for all that joined us online. We love you. We pray that you'll have a blessed rest of the day. Be safe, stay well, and tune back in Wednesday evening at 7:30. God bless you.